Now, I had kind of planned this message a little bit before Christmas, and so I kind of went with the name Tis the Season, but I felt like, you know, it actually kind of works for what I want to talk about tonight. And so hence the name Tis the Season. I kind of wanted to talk about the seasons in life that we walk through and just the things that we go through in our day-to-day lives. Now, how many of you are football fans? All right, and I don't mean Cowboys and Packers fans. I mean, like, real football fans. No, I'm kidding. But as a lot of you know, thank you for that. As a lot of you know, it is playoff season. You know, playoffs! It's playoff season. So this is very, you know, go big, you got to win, or you go home season for a lot of these players. And so they want to work their way up to what is called the Super Bowl, you know, one of the biggest sporting events in history. And so how did they get to that point? First off, you know, this is one of the biggest events in history, televised, and you wonder, how did they get to this point? Well, each of those players has gone through seasons in their lives. You know, first they kind of went through, you know, the stage. You see your heroes, you know, these big football players, the greats, all living up. And they see them on TV as a kid, as a high schooler. They see, you know, these great guys performing these great feats, winning the Super Bowl, taking the trophy back to their city. The crowd celebrating them, making their families, their friends, everyone proud. And they say, hey, I want some of that. You know, I feel like that's something for me. And so what do? They put in the work. They put in the effort. You know, they put in hundreds of hours of practice. They go on diets. They exercise. They get their body to that peak physical, you know, condition that they need in order to perform at that level. And then they get to the point where out of high school, they get, you know, college people come in to pick them up to play for the best colleges in the U.S. And then they get to the point where they get drafted in the NFL draft. And that's kind of the start of that season of promise for them, where they get drafted, they get a team to pick them up, and they make a promise. They say, I'm going to use everything that I have at my disposal, all the things that I've learned, all the time I put into this, in order to try to my best, to the best of my ability, to bring a trophy home for you guys, for this organization, for this city, whatever it is. And so once again, they put in the time, they put in the effort, and enter that season of kind of a waiting and kind of like an action period. Because they still haven't reached that final goal yet of where they want, but they also don't just, you know, sit around on their butts and just not do anything about it. They have to take a little bit of action, so they still have to keep up with the regimens, you know, the exercise, the diets, everything. They want to learn from experienced players who have played for years. They want to learn what they can from them to use the knowledge that they already have and combine it with the knowledge they're learning, in order to progress in their season to where they hopefully can one day go to the Super Bowl and finally enter that season of fulfillment, that promise that was placed before them, that road that and that path that was placed before them can come to fruition and fulfillment, and they can finally see that all their hard work and everything they've done so far have paid off. And I kind of look at it as us. A lot of us are in different seasons in our life. A lot of us are in different places in our life. Some of us might be in, you know, that season of promise, whether some people, you know, just got offered a new job. So something to look forward to for them, you know, better pay or just a better job that they like. Some of them, you know, people get engaged. And so they have now a husband, a wife to look forward to in the coming year, or just anything, whether it's a new school, husband, wife, like I said, a job, a home, all of these things that people get promised that you look forward to. And some of us are in a season of waiting. You know, some of us have been promised or some of us have entered into that thing, but we haven't gone to the full result of what we wanted. And so we're in a season of waiting where we're not quite there yet, but we're also farther than what we were at the start. But like I said, you can't just wait around and expect something just to drop in your lap. You gotta put in the effort. You gotta put in the work. You gotta take what you've been given in the moment and use it to progress yourself, to get to that result. And some of us have gotten to that point. The fruition of and the fruits that we've sown into the ground, we're now reaping. And now we have to learn how to live the life that now we have what we want, so now what do you do with it? And I was kind of looking in the Bible to kind of go with this, and my all-time favorite character in the Bible's name is Joseph. For me, like, there's so many different people in the Bible, obviously besides Christ, so don't get mad at me for saying that. But Joseph, for me, is such an example of how to go through seasons. And so before we get started, I want you guys to turn to Genesis chapter 37. We'll start in verse 3. But like I said, Joseph at this time in the Bible was at a ripe old age of 17. And so he was a pretty, you know, young buck, pretty spry. Didn't have a whole lot of experience compared to a lot of these biblical figures that we see. Some of them living, you know, hundreds of years. So he was pretty young even for back then. Now in Genesis 37, I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, and I'll be reading out of the NLT version. It says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think that you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. He said, listen, I have had another dream. The sun, the moon, and even 11 stars bowed before me. This time he told the dream to his father, as well as his brothers, but his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? Now, Joseph was the youngest out of all of his brothers. He had 11 other brothers, and he would eventually have one later down the road. But as of at this point, he was the youngest. So, you know, he's kind of got the baby going on, baby brother. And he was also the favorite of his father because all of his other brothers had a different mom than he did. So he was a half-brother. So his father had him in his old age and kind of favored him a lot more. And also, in the previous verses, it kind of said that Joseph liked to kind of tattle on his brothers. Whenever they did something wrong, whenever they did something that they weren't supposed to be doing, he would kind of go straight to his father and be like, they're kind of doing something they're not supposed to be. And, you know, they probably got punished for it. And I don't know about you, but I think all of us who have siblings can relate to siblings irritating us to the point where, you know, kind of want to give them a little smack. Now, if my baby brother Isaac had already irritated me to the point where I was about ready to kick him out the house, and then he came up to me and told me, oh, by the way, I had a dream, and I'm going to rule over you and Christian. You better just ring the bell, bring out the chairs, because I'm dropping the atomic elbow on this kid. At this point, you know, it's ready to go. I would not take that very well. And in all seriousness, his brothers were already not very happy with him. And so when he told them that, they got livid to the point where they said, we're going to plot to kill him. Now, there's been times my brothers have got me upset, and I'm like, I'm going to kill you. But I've never actually been like, I'm going to kill you. And so these guys actually were plotting to kill him, but thankfully he had a brother named Reuben who kind of intervened and said, well, let's not kill him yet. Why don't we throw him in a pit and let him stay there for a little while, because he was kind of planning on bringing him back after all the brothers left, he was going to bring him back out and save him. But instead, some slave traders happened to come along, and their brother's like, now we got a way to get rid of him, and we don't have to kill him. And so he was sold into slavery. Now, I don't know about you, but being that young and just receiving these massive promises from God, I'm sure like plenty of thoughts and questions were running through, you know, Joseph's head. Like God, like what's going on? You just promised me all these things. You just promised me a ruler's position. Because he wasn't given anything specific, but, you know, the dreams were very vivid, and he had a gift for interpreting dreams. And so I know if I was in that position, I'd be like, hey, like, what's going on? What's up, God? You give me all these promises, and now I'm at, you know, the bottom of the food chain. I'm going the exact opposite way where I'm supposed to be going. And how many of us can say that sometimes that happens to us in life? You know, we can be going through a season. We get promised something, you know, a new job, a new home, just anything, like moving, just anything, a new position even. And we think we're going in the right way and we're doing what we think is right. And then out of nowhere, something happens. And now we're set back even farther than what we were before we even got promised this thing. And it can be rough because seasons are tough. Seasons can bring out the best and they can bring out the worst in us. And but they also can be used to, almost train us a little bit and help us to grow closer to the Lord. And so Joseph knew this, because at any point during this, as soon as he got sold into slavery, he could have been like, I give up, maybe it was a fluke, maybe, God was teasing me, maybe I did something bad, but we all know God's, not that kind of God. And so Joseph knew it as well, so he trusted in God, and he believed that God was going to bring him through, and so he persevered on. And so after a fairly long journey afterwards, he ended up in the land of Egypt, where the slave trader sold him to a man named Potiphar. Now, he was the captain of the guard, and so of directly to Pharaoh. So, he's a pretty high-up guy, had a lot of reach, a lot of influence. And so, a little bit better than just being dragged by a camel through the desert. But God was watching Joseph, and God was with Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 6, we kind of see what happens with Joseph. He knew the Lord was with him, and he knew the Lord was going to bless him. And in verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He made him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All of his affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibilities over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what he ate. Now, Joseph wasn't where he wanted to be, but he realized that God was with him, and so he gave his heart into everything he did, which I think is admirable, which I think is the way we should do everything. Just because we're not in the spot that we need to be doesn't mean that we should just be, only like giving like half of what we can do. I think we should be giving that 100%, giving everything to the Lord. Because it also says that not only was Joseph blessed, it said Potiphar's household was blessed. Like the Bible says, cup runneth over. When you follow God's path and you follow his calling, you become blessed. And that blessing flows out to other people and allows them to be blessed. So it's kind of honestly selfish for you to not be given your full potential, because you kind of not only keep blessings from yourself, but you keep blessings from the other people around you. And of course, we know, though, he's going good. I'm sure he probably had a fairly nice bed, had a roof over his head. So he's like, I'm kind of making it. I'm kind of doing things. I'm kind of progressing forward with, this thing that I've been given. But we all know that not that long after, Potiphar's wife wrongly accused him of rape and had him thrown in prison, which normally a slave or a servant would be killed at that point. So it kind of makes me think Potiphar's wife was kind of known for this kind of thing. And Potiphar didn't just kill him, but just kind of threw him in prison because he cared about him too much. But now he's back at the bottom all over again. He thought he was making some leeway, and once again, slammed back down to the bottom in prison and just continues like that. Sometimes you think you might be getting it, hit a bump, and you're like, it's just a reset, I'm learning some more stuff, and boom. It doesn't always just become a one-way road without any speed bumps, without any hiccups along the way. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get to where you're going, because how many of us all know that when God promises something, he will come through on that promise. But that doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. But this is where we grow. This is where we learn to trust God. These are where our fruits of the Spirit come out. We really get to stretch a little bit, because we don't really stretch unless we're outside our comfort zones, or outside our comfort zones and in our uncomfortable zones. Because if you're in a comfort zone, you don't have to stretch. You know what's going on. When you're outside your comfort zone, that's when you get to learn. That's when you get to put your skills to the test. But once again, Joseph decided not to mope around. He decided not to complain. He decided not to just throw in the towel, say, I guess this is it. This is where I'm staying. He once again gave his entire heart. He gave his whole heart and worked his butt off once again, to the point where the prison warden, just like Potiphar, saw that everything he touched and everything he did was blessed and he succeeded in. So he put him in charge of all the prisoners, and he put him in charge of all the day-to-day operations of the prison, And once again, he knew that he was never going to have to worry about anything as long as Joseph's eyes were on it. And like I said, this was when he really started developing those gifts for interpreting dreams. And, you know, a pretty major case would be the two co-prisoners that he had with him at the time. One was the head baker of Pharaoh, who had been thrown in prison, and the other was Pharaoh's cupbearer. And they both had these, you know, really distinct dreams. They had no idea what it meant. Very weird, you know, intricate dreams. And so they were just talking to Joseph about it, and he's like, well, you know, this means this, and this means that. And of course, we all know the story. Both their fates played out exactly as he interpreted. The baker was executed, and the cupbearer was restored to his position. And right before he was let out of the prison, Joseph said, hey, remember me, please. Because as much as he wanted to work, he didn't want to be stuck in a prison forever. So he said, please remember me. Which, how many, we get, you know, some things slip our mind, and I'm sure with the excitement of him, the cupbearer being able to be out of prison and restored to such a high position, probably just slipped his mind. But then 2 full years later, which is another season of waiting for Joseph, where he had to keep just going, the Pharaoh himself, the king of all of Egypt, the ruler of Egypt, had a dream. And this was a very disturbing, very just grotesque dream that he had. And he had no idea what it meant. He asked all of his philosophers, he asked the wise men, he asked all of his advisors, his counselors, everybody, and no one could interpret the meaning of it. And then it was Joseph's timing, because God's timing is perfect. God had him right where he was. May not have been the most comfortable, but it was where he was supposed to be. And that's when the cupbearer remembered that, hey, I know a guy. And so he went and fetched Joseph for the Pharaoh. And long story short, Joseph was able to interpret the dream, tell him that in the next 7 years, it's going to be abundance, crops, livestock, everything, overflowing, surplus of food, of materials, everything. But then the following 7 years is going to be famine, disease, drought. And so I suggest that you start building some storehouses and start collecting as much as you can during these 7 years, because if not, Egypt's going to fall. And because of his words, because of interpreting, and because God was with him and he did what he needed to do during these times of waiting, Pharaoh set him to second in command. The only one higher than himself was the Pharaoh himself. And he was now into that season of fulfillment. He had finally made it. After all these years, all this time, ups and downs, he finally reached the path that he was destined for. Those two dreams that he had when he was a young kid, now as a grown man, had now come to fruition. He was now almost a ruler of an entire nation. And he kept that nation from going into economical collapse, from starving. He reconciled with his brothers, which I'm sure was difficult, and even had his family come and live with him. And they all thought he was dead. So, like I said, I always just find this story admirable, and this man admirable. Because whenever I'm going through seasons, because I'm sure all of us have gone through seasons, sometimes it feels like you're just stuck, or you're not getting to where you need to be. But we all know God's perfect timing. There is a place and a reason for everything. And my final verse for the night is going to be in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8. Some of you may know this, some of you may not, but it's a great verse to live by, great verse to study. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, for everything there is a season, a time for everything, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time for peace. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what part of a season that we're in, God's timing is perfect, and God has a time, and he has a place for everything. It may not be your timing. It may not be your place that you want. But it doesn't mean you're in the wrong spot. As long as you are following God, as long as you believe in Him, as long as you know that He's with you, just like Joseph did. Joseph trusted in Him. He may not have been in the place he wanted to. He was in an uncomfortable position. He went from slave to servant to management, back down to a prisoner, back up to a management position in the prison, and then ruler. And God's just good. And that's why we just got to learn to trust in Him. Just because we can't see the end, you know, of the road of our destination, our final destination, doesn't mean that it's not there. It may just be a little ways off, maybe a little bit farther than we thought. But God's always going to bring us to the end. Because God has yet to break a promise for anyone, and He never will.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641-828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.